It's mic up, so you're going to get a bit of a bump. I don't well recall where scriptures are anymore. And that was not always the case. Charlie said it's because I'm a jerk. But when I call Charlie, a lot of things sort of start and end with that. So, but he said I'm a prideful, arrogant stuff that doesn't go well in mixed company and on the internet. And I said, Charlie, you can't really talk that way. He says, I got to be myself. But I don't well remember where scriptures are. I know things like, it's in the New Testament. I may know who said it, but he said that's because it's one of the Lord's ways of reminding me that I'm less than and not more than. So I guess in that sense I'll take it, huh? But this was pretty cool because I was thinking about what Phil was talking about last night at our, I guess it's a Bible study. A Bible study and sitting around the table just talking to each other felt a lot alike, didn't it? You know, fellowshipping in the Word, but, you know, we were talking about how do we, you know, live out the gospel, I guess, in a nutshell. How does that work? And certainly, from what Jesus said, it really begins in the house of God. You know, we're told to prefer one another in love. And I had this scripture in mind, and I actually did not know where it is, and I flipped my Bible open, and there it was. So I just thought that was, you know, the little things mean a lot. Now, I'm in 1 John, which you don't have to turn there, because I'm probably not going to stay there, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's read that again. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Ouch. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, and one of the things that sort of connected this with what you were talking about, Philip, it was one of the large gospel groups, and I'm not going to say the name because I'm not 100%, but they were advertising it on the Christian radio, and they were playing down at the Omar Shrine Temple, which is or Omar Shrine Auditorium over at Patriots Point. And I get the fact that that's a great location as far as, you know, the physical setup. I've been there before for a wedding expo or something. I get it. But if you know anything about Omar Shrine, all Shriners are Masons. All Masons are not Shriners. But all Shriners are necessarily Masons. It's just a prerequisite. Well, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but all Masons are white, unless they're black Masons. You can be a black Mason and you can be a white Mason, but you can't be a black dude joining the white Masonic Lodge. Doesn't work. They won't do that. So they purport themselves to be based in Solomon's temple and Solomon's teachings. But you know, Solomon had the spirit of Jesus Christ, and Solomon never taught us to segregate ourselves based on race, did he? The Jews themselves would accept Gentiles into the Jewish faith. Now, granted, there was a difference made back then because Christ was not yet crucified. But there was a difference made among the Jews themselves between the high priests and the regular priests and the priests and the people. So this was not something totally out of line. So I would ask, if you say you love God, why do you segregate yourself? You know, y'all are probably aware of this. My two older children are black. They are Negroes. Racially, they are African Americans, we would say now. And, you know, when we were, I was hopeful that my son would move down for a while. But, you know, we were looking around at churches. And one of the things I knew that I couldn't do, I couldn't go to like the local Baptist church because they might accept him in. I mean, you could come sit on the pew. I might shake your hand. But don't you think about dating my daughter, boy. Because that's not done. Because, see, you don't mix races. But what are the two races? And Paul, if you would, I'm going to throw this out there. And if I'm wrong, you go ahead. There's two races. There's the race of the first Adam, the natural man, and the race of the second Adam, those of us who have been born into the Spirit, born again. And you don't mix races. How can I say that? Because you're told not to marry an unbeliever. A believer is not to marry an unbeliever. Of course, if you're already married and somebody gets saved, you know, praise God. But you don't mix races. So who is your race? It's not based on the color of your flesh or how wide your nose is or whatever people look at. It's based on the condition of your heart. If your heart's washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're a child of the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ. It says we're not even to join in partnership, like in a business sense. You don't even partner with an unbeliever. When I did that, how'd that go? You remember that? You remember that 1,000 hours I spent on 1048 Griffith? I partnered with a guy, and he talked it. But when it came down to it, he turned his back on me, which was way unfortunate for me because this guy had the correct skills. I mean, he was and is. He's a very, very talented guy. And so I found myself holding the bag. I had everything I had sunk into this property. But I had violated the Word of God. And God, in His mercy, just let me wallow in it for a while. And it cost me a tremendous amount of time and a fair amount of money. So going back to what Philip was saying, how does this work that we live out the gospel? And the place it begins is here. It's right here. Because, it's like I heard a guy, he was a guy that lived in a bus, as it turns out, a guy named John Butler. He said, if I wanted to know how spiritual you are, I just come bother you a little bit. It'll come out pretty quick. That's why I'm here for y'all. I'm going to bother you a little bit, and I won't even mean to. I'm just being myself. I'm a man with needs, and I'm a man with phones. And I'll contact you, and I'll just need and need and need. And it won't be very long, and I'll know if your spirituality runs about skin deep or if you really love Jesus. Because if you really love Him, you're really going to love me. And likewise, when you come bother me, and you do, you know, how am I reacting? Am I reacting according to the Spirit? And I really like this because it takes Christianity from what I call a church parking lot handshake and a smile to real life, because it's so easy. You know, the Proverbs, it says the heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? You know, and there's a verse that says if our heart condemn us, He is greater than our heart. And people read that to say, well, you know, your heart's going to condemn you and that's the way it is. No, that's not what that says. It's saying if you think you're bad because your heart's condemning you, you don't know what bad is, because your heart is evaluating itself and it's in a wicked, rotten state. So you're giving yourself an A when you deserve an F. You want to know what bad is? If you could see yourself through His eyes for a minute, you'd know how really messed up you are. So I praise God that I have the body of believers around me, because I have a barometer or a gauge where I can have at least some degree of measurement to know if I'm even getting it somewhere near right. You know, is that ringing true with you guys? You know, and I thank God for that. One of the things that separates our fellowship, and I'm not just saying, you know, the South Carolina part of the Fisherman Ministry, but you know, we're not just talking it. Some of us are paying each other's mortgages, car payments, medical bills, you know, keeping each other's kids for a week, that kind of thing. We're really involved, and it's not, you know, the gospel's got to have feet on it, right? I mean, you got to have shoes on this thing. And I thank God. I thank God I've got this thing going on around me, because I've been so wrong for so long, and yet, you know, I wasn't rejected by the people around me. I've been well tolerated and corrected. And now, the evaluation of the people around me is the sun's coming up. So that's really what I wanted to share with us this morning. Let's read that verse one more time, and then I'll get out of y'all's way. 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. God bless y'all.
You quoted briefly out of 1 John 3. And 18. I'm trying to decide whether to start further up or not. Let's see. Huh?
In 4 or 3?
3. He said, if our hearts condemn us.
Well, that's in 1st John?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you were just a little bit earlier in it. Hereby perceive we love God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Where are you?
How convenient is that? That's 3:16. Not terribly convenient. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of mercy, of compassion rather, from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's exactly what you were saying. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So it's a win-win. If our hearts condemn us, he's bigger than that. If our hearts don't condemn us, then we have confidence before God. We can approach the throne boldly, because our hearts don't condemn us. Philip.
Good morning, everybody. I tell you, that's very interesting that you guys were talking about that. You know, we did a lot of discussion as moving forward in the body. Moving forward. And it starts, and you were talking about how it starts right here. We love one another here. You know, Jesus says, they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And then if we really get to know who each other are, get to know the soul of each other, and to see that, not seeing the flesh, but see the soul. Because Jesus Christ covered that nasty thing. But see the soul of one another and see the need that they're struggling with. You can have compassion for them. You'll have their best interest at heart. Just as the Lord had your best interest at heart when he went to the cross and was resurrected in power. And join you back to the fellowship of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And it's one of those things we were talking about that last night, and man, I woke up this morning and I was tired and I was struggling and I was irritable and I was just, man, my heart was condemning me. I had talked a lot about how to walk in the Lord. Now I needed to put it in practice, and I had to hit face to face with the Lord. I had to take this old flesh and cast it down. I had to believe that a sacrifice was good enough for me, was sufficient for me. Grab a hold of that grace. Put down that old man. Cleave to the new one. And rejoice in the Lord. It was a choice I had to make. A hard one at that. A hard one at that. But praise the Lord. Guess what? He met me. Lord's good. I'm not. He's good. He's done the work on the cross. We walk in that grace. We walk in that righteousness. He is our righteousness. Amen. And if we're doing that, we can love one another. We will be loving one another. And I want to turn to Romans 8 this morning. Now in 7, we all read 7. How we're back and forth. And the flesh is pulling on us. It's strapped to our back. It is at war with God. But we choose to walk forward. We make up in our minds that we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to follow His Spirit. And I'm going to start verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. a choice. Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to follow? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He took it down. He destroyed it. He defeated death, that we may have fellowship with the Father by what He did for us. And this thing is dead. This thing is dead. We don't have to listen to it. Don't let it control you. Lord, Jesus become my Lord and Savior. And it's a joyful thing, man. You're free. He has set you free to serve Him. You're not bound to this flesh. Not bound to it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't have your foot in the flesh and foot in the Spirit. Won't happen. Can't do it. We say yea to the flesh. We say yea to the Spirit and nay to the flesh. That's what we do. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. His righteousness. Partaker of that. Praise the Lord. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken it. Bring you into remembrance what the things are of the Spirit. We have it all day long. Lisa was talking about it a little bit last night. It's like you have the Spirit talking to you and the flesh talking to you. Spirit talking to you and flesh talking to you. And your soul decides what it wants to listen to. And we have that choice. We have that choice, praise the Lord. What do we do with it? We need to be picking the Spirit. We need to be picking the Spirit. Many times we fall in league with that flesh. Many times we fall back in league with that flesh. When you're there, you turn, you repent. And He's there and He's just to forgive you. And He will give you everything you need to move forward in the Spirit. Just listen to it. It's right there. He's giving you everything you need. Everything you need. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. This thing wants to take you down. It's cursed. It wants to take you down. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. But if you through the Spirit, how do we mortify it? Through the Spirit. We mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look. Man, if you're His son, you can go to the, you know, Paul is sharing a little bit about the prodigal son. And remember when the older brother, he goes, And I've been with you. I didn't leave. I didn't go and party and spend all my goods and since and spend my share of the kingdom on partying. And you didn't throw me a party. What's the deal? He says, son, all that you have is all that I have is yours. It always has been. Look, if we're joint heirs with Christ, everything that he has is right there for you to serve him. He's giving you everything you have to serve him. It's just making that choice, what we're talking about. It's making that choice to do it. Grab a hold of it. It's there for the taking. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's right there.
That idea about the idea of walking after the Spirit is an Elizabethan presentation of something we really understand well, because if you're walking after something, it's leading you, isn't it? So you're walking after flesh, or you're walking after Spirit? What's leading you? Are you walking after Spirit with the dirty old man, dead old man strapped to your back? Or are you walking after the flesh with the Spirit strapped on your back? Going, that's really the image. It's not the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, that, like Lisa was talking about last night. It's who's strapped on your back? Is it the dead man? Who are you following? Is it the Spirit? That's what's going on. That's the struggle.
That is the battle. Thank you, Paul. But he's right there. He's giving you everything you need.
Right.
There's no excuses why you can't serve the Lord. None. And I just want to share that with you. And there is no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. No condemnation. So when the enemy's hitting you with the doubts, when the enemy's hitting you with the accusations, when the enemy's hitting you, you take that shield of faith and you quench those darts. You quench them. Because you have it. Lord took it all on the cross. The enemy can't hold anything against you. A lot of times we let that thing down. But you know what? Repent. And bring that thing back up. Bring that shield back up and move forward in him. That's what I want to share this morning. Thanks.
Well, this may be a quick one here this morning. I've been sitting there spending a lot of time meditating on Luke 14, and it kind of gave me a little direction here. And I want to look at James chapter 1, verse 17 for a moment. And it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the question is, do we believe that? Is that the perspective that we follow the Lord with? That everything that comes across our paths is designed for our good. It is not designed to destroy us. Not designed to cast us into hell. Not designed. He's not this mean old ogre in the sky who just wants to fold up as much flesh as he can and cast it in hell. It's not the way this thing works. Every good thing cometh down from the Father of light. If you really have that perspective at work, you sit back and you look at the things he's saying in Luke, it starting out with 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I started reading further on as he shares all these parables, and there was a common factor in them. And the common factor is in 16:13, and it isn't, I've just done this to be difficult, so that you'll have something to strive after, because I'm the Father of lights, and everything that good is good cometh down from the Father of lights. 16:13 says, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's just how it doesn't work. This stuff I'm telling you is for your good, is for your grace. You can't do it any other way. You need to know that. You tell a kid, you can't put those shoes on. Why? Well, they don't fit. You can't put those shoes on. They're not going to get over your feet. Well, you're not telling them that to make them sad. You're trying to save them a whole bunch of time and frustration because it's not going to work. The shoes don't fit. You might want them to fit. They fit last summer. This summer, your feet are three sizes bigger. Shoes aren't going to fit. Not telling them that to be mean. You're trying to tell them the truth. And this is the same thing as at work. Same principles at work here. It's our Father. He's trying to tell us how this stuff works. It's going to frustrate you. It's going to bind you up. You're going to want to justify yourself. You're going to look for somebody to blame. Until you understand that you can't do it. It doesn't work any other way. And when you have... I looked up the word. Let me get back to that. So I don't start talking out of turn. In 33, forsake. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It just doesn't work. I'm not trying to make things difficult for you. You can't do it. I'm not that I'm mean. I looked up the word forsake. It's to say goodbye to. Amongst other things. Take leave of. To walk away from. If you can't walk away from, turn your back on. All that stuff to solely focus on how it is, Lord, that I can please you. It's not going to work for you any other way. You can't straddle that fence. You can't serve God and mammon. It doesn't work. Amen. It frustrates you. It ties you in knots. It binds you up and gets you blaming, wanting to blame somebody, wanting to justify yourself. You end up shipwrecked. You can't do it. That was such a revelation to me. You can't do it. It doesn't work. I'm not just saying this because I'm the big guy. and you have to comply. I'm saying this is a grace to you. You can't do it. It's like a father telling a kid, you can't put on those shoes. It doesn't work. I'm good. I'm about Father of Lights. I'm giving you everything that's good. Amen. Want you to be successful. Amen. You can't do it this way. I want you to do it. I know how you are. I created you. You know, some question about needing to know why. Well, you know, as our hearts get worked on by the Spirit, it becomes how, and it becomes a how can I serve you better? How can I access the mysteries? How can I know those simple things like this that change my perspective? And it's when it's not a, well, why are you like that? And it's more of a, how can I find out more of this? This is the kind of stuff I need. When it changes to how I can do this successfully, I want to do, I don't know this more than you. You'll see these little things. It's just a little thing. But it falls from how good am I? How good am I the Father of Lights? How much do I love you? Where is our heart? Is our perspective on Him, the Father of Lights, where everything good and perfect comes down from? If we believe that, then it's going to follow that we're pretty soon we're going to know this, that this whole set of parables here was set to make us understand that it's for our good, and you can't do it like that. You can't do it like that. And in there, in the middle of that, is the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. And he's just so glad that my son, who was dead and is now alive, when he's explaining to his son about the one that stayed, why he hasn't had a party for him. Where was my party? You've been here with me always. All this stuff's always been yours. He, my son, was dead and is now alive. You know, that's how good our Heavenly Father is, the Father of Lights. There's grace yet for those of us who have turned our backs on Him. And the whole of Scripture is to give us these attitude adjustments. And for me, that was just a really neat attitude adjustment. You just can't do it this way. Can't do it.